Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again today with Barbara Heil. Barbara is a woman who's been walking with the Lord for many years, but during those years, for almost three decades, she was a very effective and inspired Pentecostal pastor who the Lord brought into the Catholic Church over the last number of years in an amazing journey that she's been talking about over the last couple of days. And if you haven't had a chance to hear the program Monday and Tuesday, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You could listen to them on your computer, download them, put them on whatever device allows you to listen to them at your leisure. But I've asked Barbara to come back, and hopefully she'll be here this whole week because she's got a lot to give. And I think it's a real, not only has it been a great blessing for her to become a Catholic, but I think it's a great blessing for the church that she became Catholic. Barbara, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's continue the story. Now, you ended yesterday with this amazing revelation that your mother told you about that you might want to circle back and
I'll just recap with that. I wondered all my life, how did I come to know the Lord? How come Jesus was there when I was a child? How come it was when I came to the Lord as a college student? Why was he there in my life? And while I was with my mother, while she was being treated for cancer, I began to share with my mom this love I was discovering of the Catholic Church and how amazed I was. And my mother looked at me and said, well, you know, you were baptized Catholic, which the joke was, that was one of the things you neglected to tell me, Mom.
Yeah.
I had no idea I was baptized Catholic, but it answered so many questions. And one of the things I like to remind people is, even though I was not raised in the faith after that, some things happened in my parents' lives, and they just never took me to church, and they didn't practice. Mm-hmm. My father, for sure, was not Catholic. What I understood, though, was even though I did not know that I was in a covenant with Jesus through baptism, Jesus never forgot he was in covenant with me. And my mother began to tell me the story. It was her grandmother that insisted that she have me baptized.
Oh.
It was Grandma Madeline, and I like to call her Madeline Madeline. She insisted that my mother have me baptized. And I think about this often. What if Madeline hadn't insisted that I be baptized? Where would I be today? Would I have come to know the Lord? Would Jesus have been there on those mornings that I'd been beat by my dad? You know, where would my life be? And I honestly believe that my life took a trajectory because my grandmother meddled, that my great-grandmother, sorry, this was my mother's grandmother, meddled in my mother's life to ensure that her great-granddaughter, me, was going to be baptized. And so my mother went and had me baptized. And I believe for anybody that's struggling with grandchildren that aren't baptized yet, you have permission to meddle. If your kids were driving down the road and you knew the bridge was out, you'd jump out of your car. You'd throw your body in the way. You would tell everybody, don't go down this road. There's danger. There's danger. We got to stop being so polite. It's okay to rock the boat. I love what Mother Angelica would talk about. You know, you don't want to offend people. You're going to unoffend them straight to hell.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead and meddle a little bit and say something. And I really actually can feel my great-grandmother's smile on this whole situation. So I was so excited to find out that I'd been baptized as a child, and I found out the church, and I immediately called the church, and is there a record? And she said, would you like me to mail you the certificate? So she mails me my baptism certificates from St. Francis Xavier. So now I have a new certificate. For those of you who are listening earlier in the week, I had an old certificate on how to win a Catholic. Now I have a new certificate. It's my baptismal certificate that told me, ha-ha, you've been Catholic. You just didn't know it. And I was so thrilled to find this out. Well, at the same time,
do you have those two certificates framed like next to each
side
other?
Side by side, one canceling the other one. But this was all new revelation to me. Now, in the meantime, my late husband has died. I am traveling. I am ministering. I have a Bible school. I am training people for the mission field.
So you're still a Pentecostal pastor?
I am
at this
still
point.
A Pentecostal pastor. I'm still sharing the gospel. I have the good news.
Yeah.
The good news that Jesus is alive.
Mm-hmm.
The good news that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, that he sent his Spirit to fill his followers and his believers, to put the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead into those that believe in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And all of that was totally I was finding out, this is Catholic teaching.
Yeah.
That's what amazed me as I'm reading the Doctors of the Church, is as I was reading Teresa of Avila, Bernard of Clairvaux, St. John of the Cross, one of my favorites, began to read the Desert Fathers, began to read Henry Nguyen, began to read the more modern classic writers, and I saw nothing that was incompatible with the Bible. In fact, I was feeding on this. And I would still get on the Coming Home Network on the internet. I would get on. I was on the minister's forum anonymously asking questions, arguing with the moderators, kind of going toe-to-toe over issues I didn't understand because I've been really trained on certain points. Mm-hmm. And I just, they sent me books. I'm reading all these books. In fact, I remember I was having a leadership meeting in my home one night. We would always have a meal before the leadership meeting. And I had Scott Hahn's book, Hail, Holy Queen, next to my bed. And I remember, you know, some of you will relate, you know, you got people coming over, so you give it the run through the house to make sure everything's in order. And I'm running, buzzing through the downstairs, and it's like, oh, there's Catholic contraband.
Yeah.
I can't let them see that. And I kicked it under the bed, and I went, sorry, Scott. Sorry, Holy Mother. I kicked it under the bed. And it was shortly after that that I was like, I've got to talk to somebody about this. And I was doing some meetings up in New Hampshire, and I had a really, really good friend that was from the same ministry I was from in Virginia. And I began to share a little bit with my friend, my good friend, Debbie. And I'm telling Debbie what's going on. And Debbie says to me, me too. She also was on this journey in the Catholic Church and had been ministering in Europe amongst some big, she had ministered with Father Renero Cantala Mesa. She'd been at these great unity meetings, and she would always be the Protestant minister. Mm. And she said to me, she was getting so touched by the Catholics of Europe, their expression of faith, their love of God, that they began to love her into the church. So I was so amazed that this colleague of mine was experiencing the same journey I was in a different way. So we had each other we can begin to talk to. So we're sharing and talking, and I was just absolutely amazed. And about this time, I'm asking the Lord, well, what should I do? What should I do? I've told my ministry board what was going on. I'm being drawn into the Catholic Church. They were shocked. A lot of them were former Catholics themselves. They didn't understand it. I began to explain my journey up to that point with them, and they were like, well, you know, there's things I kind of miss about the Catholic Church, and just began to talk. And, well, one day I had a meeting, I was saying, in New Hampshire, and my phone rang, and it was Debbie, and she said, I need to talk to you. So after the meeting, I'm going and I'm walking along the Merrimack River, and I called Debbie back and I said, what's up? She said, I did it. I said, what did you do? She said, I came into the Catholic Church. And I went, oh, and on the inside, I said, oh, she beat me.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my gosh, I don't remember anything else Debbie said, because the whole rest of her conversation, she's telling me all about how they came in and her and Bill got their marriage blessed, and their whole family came in. And all I could think about was, oh my gosh, did I just say she beat me? Why did I just say that? And I thought, I think I want to be Catholic. And I it really hit me like a ton of bricks. I didn't know I could. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I could. And I went home and I asked the Lord, what should I do? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you're going to take a class. I said, okay, I'm going to audit a class at St. Thomas. And the Lord was like, no, it's not what I said. And I start, you know, again, I get on the internet. And long story short, I find a banner that says Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute. I didn't know what catechetical meant. I couldn't even say catechetical. But the Holy Spirit said, that's your class. So I made a phone call. And about half an hour later, a man named Jeff Cavins called me back and said, why do you want to go to the Catechetical Institute? And I start telling him my story. Well, he starts telling me his story.
Yeah, he was a Pentecostal pastor too, wasn't he?
In the same denomination,
oh,
even.
My goodness,
so,
yeah.
You know, he understood my hesitancy, and I understood his need to vet me because he knew all about the old certificate that I had.
Yeah.
And I ended up at the Catechetical Institute in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And I could still remember, Peter, walking in the very first day of the very first night of the Catechetical Institute. I was told to bring my Bible, a notebook, and a catechism. And I walked in, and there was 250 Catholics in this room with their Bibles, a notebook, highlighter markers, and their catechism all ready to go, and excited to learn about their faith, excited to learn about the Word of God in their faith. Just had not seen this yet. Mm-hmm. And I began the Catechetical Institute. I would be preaching every weekend, land at the airport in Minneapolis, get in my car, drive straight to the Institute. And amazing from the get-go, from the very first class, the very first pillar of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, very first paragraph, I was hooked. Mm. It's like, this is biblical. This is beautiful. This is truth. And I began to walk through that class, and I loved it. I had a problem, however. I was beginning to believe. All of my objections were being knocked over. But the problem was, because I had come to the Lord from a non-church background, mm-hmm. I want everybody to know about Jesus, not just the people in the pews, not just the people that already know the formula, not just the people that already know how to do the religious stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, we pride ourselves in how religious we are and how faithful we are and how devoted we are, but Jesus calls us, go into all the world and preach the gospel, not to your friends, mm-hmm. to your enemies. Mm-hmm. Not preaching the gospel to the people that get you and understand what you're talking about, but to people that don't get you, that don't know what you're talking about, mm-hmm. who've never heard about Jesus, who mm-hmm. don't know any religious language, who are so lost and broken, maybe they're stuck in addiction. They don't know there's a way out. They don't know that the power of God is not just for the church people. It's for them too. And I was not seeing this kind of witnessing going on. Yeah. I wasn't seeing. I would go to the cathedral, and I would be thumbing through the little papers trying to keep up with what was going on during Mass, because I had no clue what was going on during Mass. I couldn't keep up. But I'd look around, because I'm in this famous cathedral, and there's all these tourists there, visitors, people that maybe want to come to the church. They're feeling drawn. I could pick them out. We're in the back, thumbing through, trying to keep up. And all the holy people are up front, oblivious to what's going on in the back. And I was like, Lord, this is a problem. How can this be? Mm-hmm. And I said later, when I was graduating from the Catechetical Institute, and the bishop was there, the archbishop was there for the graduation, I said, I was in a room full of people that there were fish trying to jump into the boats, and nobody was manning the nets. Mm-hmm. And that was the truth of it. And that was actually... that was actually one of my difficulties about mm-hmm. choosing to come into the Catholic Church.
No, it's one of the great ironies of our time, in particular, you know, for 40 years, the popes have focused so much of their attention on trying to mobilize Catholics to actually do what you're saying. That it's just, it is part of our baptismal calling. Yes. It's right from the beginning, right? That we're sent ones by Jesus personally to take the gospel to those who don't know him, to have Jesus' heart, to seek and save the lost. And,
right.
Can we talk more about that in the next program?
Because
it's such an important topic, and I want to just pick your brain a little bit too. So friends, I hope you can tune in again tomorrow. Barbara will be with us. Ask your friends to join us as well. There's a lot more to her story. We may not get it all in this week, but we're going to get enough to feed you. So God bless you and have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.